Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, titled Faith, Love, and Hope. This is part 2 of 2.
It's also not faith in your faith. That's the word faith thing. I believe, and I name it, and I claim it. Mark says, I believe that my truck is going to be a big pile of gold bricks after church is over. I name it. I claim it. Wouldn't that be great? I wouldn't even bother with the offering box. I'd just grab a hold of something. But also, this is another thing. How many times have you heard people boast about their faith? I've seen people come through some of the most horrendous things, and I believe in most of those cases that God brought them through, but when they're asked about it, they say, it was my faith that brought me through. Yeah, it's not your faith that brought you through. You ever think about that? Here's a bad testimony. My faith brought me through that ordeal. Well, how about saying my faith in Jesus Christ? That would be true. How about my faith in God's Word? That would be true. How about my faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ? But if you're just saying my faith brought me through, well, you could be a, you know, Baha faith or a Mason or a Hindu or who knows what. They all have a sort of faith. It should be faith in the Lord, in His Word. I believe, I've heard this before, I believe in the power of faith. Well, how about I believe in the power of faith in God? That would be true. I believe in the power of faith in God's Word. Or I believe in the power of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I hate to be picky about that stuff, but I tell some of the young men, I won't name names of all the young men I've said this to, but I think you should be in the habit when you pray of saying in Jesus' name. Just so we know you're not praying for my pizza in Buddha's name. Or Muhammad's. Or Pee Wee Herman. Or whoever. Tell me who you're praying to. Amen? But it also bothers me because I've been to these ecumenical prayers where they say, Oh God, the creator of all things, the master of the universe. Amen. You know? You're like, no, who you praying to, man? Tell me who you're praying to. Amen. Give glory to who?
God.
Give glory to God. What's His name?
Jesus.
Jesus is God.
Amen.
Amen. Here's a little reality check. Anti-Christian critics often start their attack on Christianity by using a false definition for faith. If you don't know what faith is, you're game for being tricked or deceived by the atheists who will claim, they pretend that faith is something that the Bible doesn't teach. They basically act like you just have a blind faith. You just, you know, I just believe in God. Well, why? Just cause. That's your defense of Christianity?
Yep. Because.
All right. Anything else? My mama's a Christian. My grandma's a Christian. I was raised to be a Christian. Horrible reasons. Not a defense of Christianity. What if your mom was in the voodoo? That mean you'd be in the voodoo? You should have a reason for believing what you believe. So the question is, where does faith come from? There's your answer. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, some people have this false idea of faith, that you have faith in you, and you just choose where to put it. Where biblical faith is, no, you hear the word of God, and if you choose to receive it as the Word of God, it produces faith in you.
Amen.
That's how it works. Only those who choose to believe God's Word will receive biblical faith. How many of you have heard of Dennis Prager? Real good guy on politics and morality and all that. And he has chosen to believe that the Torah is the Word of God. That's good. Problem is, he's chosen not to believe the New Testament. And it's all a choice. And one of the great things I heard him talk about, he chose. He was an atheist. His grandfather was an Orthodox rabbi, and his grandfather gave him these sets of books, and he never touched them or anything. But then as he went through life and he thought about these things and really kind of pondered, he made a choice to believe the Torah is the Word of God. And folks, I don't care. They can play their games. All these people who are atheists, agnostics, or just non-Christians, it's simply a choice. Amen. Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It wasn't because of some scientific basis. It wasn't because of logic and all that stuff. They loved their sin. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Now look at this. This is how it works. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul wrote this. And look what he uses in the fifth word there, thank. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Amen. That's the word of God. And God says that when you hear this word that I'm preaching this morning, if you will receive it as God's word, it will work in you. And if it doesn't, it's because you're looking at the Bible like any other book and you're not receiving it as the Word of God. Brother John, I have seen, he's been around a few years longer than me, but both of us have seen the difference in going door to door in the 80s, we'll say, compared to today. In that short amount of time, you used to go door to door, and if you had a Bible, you say, you believe this is the Word of God? Well, yeah, I believe that. And then you could go from there. These days, I don't believe that bleep. I don't believe that filthy, you know. They can't even speak respectfully. They cuss and curse it. And that's why you're not seeing door-to-door or any other kind of evangelism produce a lot of fruit these days, because Satan has successfully won academia and entertainment and the news media for himself, where they rob you of your faith in God's Word. Therefore, when it's preached, it basically bounces off their forehead.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And the Bible says if they would receive it as the Word of God, it would work in them.
Amen.
Faith is both substance and based upon evidence, not just blindly believing. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't just believe the Bible because someone handed me a Bible and said, this is God's Word. There's more to it than that. First of all, one of the things that impresses me is its brutal honesty. I mean, the heroes. Just read about the heroes and you'll say, boy, that Noah getting drunk and all that stuff. Then you got Abraham and, you know, he's lying to Pharaoh and lying to Abimelech because he didn't have enough faith that God was going to protect him.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jacob, the way he did Esau was deception.
Yep.
God had told him he was going to bless him, but he couldn't leave it up to God. So he was the supplanter.
Yep.
King David. Where did we get Solomon? From King David committing adultery with another man's wife and then having that man murdered. And I look at this stuff and I'm thinking, wow, if men had written this, it would be a whole lot different.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons. Another is Messianic Bible prophecy. Nearly 300 clear Bible prophecies about Messiah, all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Beyond statistical probability. It's just an amazing thing. And its historical accuracy. I keep being told that, oh, the Bible's not historically accurate. Well, what I've learned is that they've had to constantly change that argument. They used to say Nineveh didn't exist. Then they found it. The Hittites didn't exist. And they found evidence for them. Tyre. They found in the ocean where God said it would be.
Using Google Earth.
Yeah. God, thank God for Google. Amen. And that's on and so right now they're still claiming Moses was a myth. And if you go back and read that over and over, God says, "This is that Moses. This is that Moses and Aaron." He gives his genealogy. All this information, it's like God knew that men were going to be so stupid they'd deny Moses' existence. So he's constantly reminding people, this is a real dude. He's a real guy. Really existed. Israel, an end time prophecy. These fools who deny that Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy are not only just fools for not respecting God's word on that level, but they're actually destroying one of the great arguments in support of God's word. In this book, going back into the 16th and 17th century, on into the 18th, 19th, and early 20th century, Bible believers preached that Israel was going to be revived. The Jews were going to go home. And at that time, I said, that's nutty. That's crazy. And then it happened. Amen. And 70 years ago, tomorrow, by our calendar, Israel became a nation again. Amazing fulfillment of prophecy, and more to come with Israel. Then it's the effect the Bible has on believers. Anyone who rightly divides the word of truth doesn't go blowing up people and shooting people like they do in other religions. It changes people for the better. Drunks who became good fathers and husbands and sons. Sodomites who have been saved out of that lifestyle. Adulterers who stopped committing adultery on their wives. Liars and cheats and thieves who suddenly stopped being liars, cheats, and thieves. The effect has been amazing. And also its longevity. Considering efforts to extinguish it, and if you haven't read that, we've got a couple videos we could bring in and show you the history of the efforts, especially of the Pope and the Roman Church, to destroy the Word of God. They not only burned copies of it for a couple hundred years, they would, if they found you with a copy, they would tie it around your neck and burn you with your Bible. And it's still the world's bestseller, etc. I mean, you think about all the things we could talk about. The fact our presidents are sworn in on Bibles. And the fact that the Bible is also the most hated book in the world. What's that about? You know, on and on you could go with all that kind of thing. And then verse 4 continues and he says, "And of the love which ye have to all the saints." Now, you ever ask your question, you know, the Bible says we ought to love believers. We ought to love one another. But it's a good question. Why? And I just have a couple of photo montages here. And some of the people that we've had in and out, none of them are real new because I have to figure out how to get new pictures since I'm off Facebook. But these are some of the people both locally, and then I threw in a few pictures of people who live in other states and a couple that live in other countries that we have a relationship with. We have love one for another. And you see this one here. You'll see me and Brother Sean were next to Larry and Dwayne. Dwayne went on to be with the Lord. Yeah, we were street preaching down there in Parkersburg with them. Up here next to Mariah. Look, by the way, there's Mariah and Stephen. Look at where Gloria is. That's hilarious if you actually look at that close. And then right next to them is... Ron Myers. We actually have one of his songs in our songbook. I mean, he took the lyrics and Jenny put music to it. And here's some more. I got another one. You might recognize some of those faces. You might recognize some of the events. You might recognize some of the things going on. And if not, we have our own memories. We have our own moments. But it's if you just sit and think about it, if without the love that God has given for us, given to us for each other, how much emptier our lives would be. What an empty space there is for people who don't have that. People who choose not to go and be involved in a local church, but also, sadly, some people who just don't have a good local church to go to. You lose a lot. So you ask the question, how can complete strangers love one another? In 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Most all of you were strangers to me at one time. How could we love one another as complete strangers? Well, God loved me, God loved you, and we're pretty strange. And if God can love me and you, we ought to be able to love all these other strange people. Amen? For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Hope. What is that? Is this, oh, I hope so. No, our hope is not in this life, but in the next, the eternal. And it's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just a hope flippant. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. Therefore, we have hope. That's why Bible believers think and talk about the rapture so much. And why the world likes to make fun of us about it. But I just think this is hilarious. Watch this. Here's Washington, D.C. There's New York City. China. There's London. There's Paris. Now Vegas. One guy. Gives up. I think that's hilarious. Yeah. He was there to see the Grand Canyon. I did. It was, the different cities, there's a rapture, and then in Vegas, one guy goes up. Huh? Yeah, that was Jason. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that's what I think about these poor non-believers. They really believe this is it, and then they die, and there's nothing. In that frame, in that context, to me, the only people that make sense are the drunks and the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the thieves and the liars. I mean, if this is all there is and you just die and that's the end of it, go for it, brother. Get all you can, man. Amen. As Jesus said, eat, drink, and be merry, you know. What doesn't make sense to me, and while you know there's a spiritual element to this, are all the unbelievers spending their entire lives in political activism and all this stuff when they believe, supposedly they believe it's of no use. They believe that when they die it's over, and at some point our sun's going to expand and burn up the earth and there's going to be no human existence at all. That's just what doesn't make sense to me. But someday we will have eternal day. And I believe any Christian who's right with God is going to be thinking an awful lot about that eternal day. So what produces this faith, love, and hope in us? It says in verse 5, we close. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The gospel produces. By faith we are saved. And as we said, it didn't come from just you. It came from God's word. You receive God's word. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. Why? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And in His resurrection, we are provided a basis for hope. See, it's substance, evidence. And only once we are saved can we have this biblical faith, love, and hope. Let's look at one last place and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 13. And you've heard of this passage. It's read a lot at weddings. And in the new versions, they replace the word charity with the word love. And that's a mistake. Because charity makes love what it really is. It's a verb. In verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly. But then, talk about after the rapture, face to face. Now in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. Huh? Now I know in part. That's right. But then shall I know even as also I am known. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. We heard a song about that earlier. Let's go ahead and turn to page 16 in the praise book. Jesus literally personified this example of love. Selfless. Giving. We read back in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Loved me and gave himself for me. That's why Jesus is the one being praised around here and for all of eternity. Amen. Go ahead and stand. We'll sing.
Worthy is the Lamb.
this time with the family of God. We thank you for this song,
amen,
straight from your word in the Psalms. And may we be a thankful people,
amen,
full of faith, love, and hope, praising you now and throughout all of eternity, thanking you for your shed blood that paid for the sins of the whole world, thanking you for dying in our place and making atonement, and being buried, you rose again the third day, conquering sin and death. Thank you, as you ascended, you said you would return, and we look forward to that. We see the stage being set. We look forward to being with you, praying that you come quickly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.